So I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the harvest is plentiful. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, as you might guess, there's a lot going on in our gospel reading this morning, really more than one sermon can get at. So in order to make things a little easier to grasp, I want to narrow our focus to two issues. First, what it is that the apostles are given to proclaim. And second, just what the apostolic office was all about and what does it have to do with us today. It turns out the first part is pretty easy to get. Jesus told the apostles to tell the people they were sent to, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that means it's here, now. Its effects can be seen and felt. And the reason the kingdom is at hand is because Jesus is here. He is the kingdom. He is the Redeemer, the Restorer. Where he is at work, God's will is done, his reign manifest, and the dead are brought to life. So we know what the apostles proclaimed as Jesus sent them out, and now we can ask just what were the apostles about anyway? And yet, before we get to that, the what the apostles were about, why they were sent also needs to be front and center. We need to ask, why does Jesus send them? What does he say about the harvest being plentiful? What need was Jesus addressing? Well, the need that he addressed was that he saw the crowds, that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion for them. Now, we've spoken about that word compassion before. It is a word that points to a deep personal empathy, one that is so deep and consuming it causes the compassionate person to experience churning in their stomach. And some of you know that feeling, right? Something happens to someone you love or care about so earth-shattering that you feel it right here in the gut. That's what Jesus felt as he encountered the people of Israel during his public ministry. And why was he so moved? Well, he saw that they were in trouble spiritually. They didn't have spiritual shepherds who would nourish and protect them, and so they were harassed by false promises, false schemes, by false religions, false thoughts and feelings. The word for harassed points to the sheep being attacked and scattered from the fold so that they became easy prey. They were helpless. Like domesticated sheep, which don't have much by the way of natural defenses, the people had no way to defend themselves. They were easy prey for the twisted and the unscrupulous. And so Jesus told his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And the plentiful harvest was not made up of people waiting for the gospel, acres of unbelievers waiting to be evangelized. It was made up of the scattered and helpless sheep needing to be rescued by the good shepherd. I suppose that's one of the first things we need to get. Jesus sends the 12 to gather the lost, the helpless, the harassed. He doesn't send the 12 out as salesmen trying to close a deal. And that makes all the difference. The 12 were sent to those for whom Jesus had compassion. The apostles were sent to those who were loved, who were wanted. Jesus didn't send the 12 out to see if he could build up his market share for his religion or improve his brand recognition. Jesus wants his sheep because he loves them. And the Father loves them. So we know why Jesus sent the apostles. Now, what was the apostles' work? What was their office? Simply to proclaim or herald the kingdom, the reign of heaven is at hand. It is here now so that you can be a part of it. Now, of course, that's no small thing. The reign, the kingdom of heaven is present in Jesus incarnate and is nothing less than the Father's work to reconcile all things to himself and bring his peace and his order back into a fallen and broken world. It is a reign founded on grace, forgiveness, and love. And it is a kingdom of power that begins to push back against all the powers and principalities of this present age of darkness as it undoes their work and breaks their plans. And so that the lost sheep of Israel would know that this is a real thing, Jesus gave the 12 his power and his authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers. The 12, as Jesus' personal agents, were to be the nucleus of a restored Israel, a restored people. For the time of the nation, founded on the 12 patriarchs of old, was coming to an end, but the establishment of God's people in the proclamation of the kingdom come in Jesus would never end. The 12 apostles in Christ were to reconstitute Israel, beginning with the lost sheep. And in that new people, redeemed and restored, the kingdom would spread to all, even to the very ends of the earth. And I should add here that Professor Gibbs from St. Louis, my source for all things Matthew-related, argues persuasively that the work of the 12 was a unique calling for that generation and does not, at least directly, have a continuing place with us. Generally, you only establish a foundation once, a beginning, right? What happens after that is a different thing, and we'll return to that. So we know why Jesus sent the 12, his compassion for the shepherdless sheep and the plentifulness of the harvest to be gathered. And we know what the 12 were given to do, proclaim the reign of God in Christ in order to establish the nucleus of a restored and renewed Israel, God's people of faith. And now we can ask, how? How were the apostles to do that? The answer, again, is simple: by the Holy Spirit. The reference to the apostles' proclamation being empowered by the Spirit comes at the end of our reading, and in context, it is Jesus' assurance to the 12 that no matter the opposition they face, they will continue to effectively proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near, and by that heralding of the kingdom, make its presence powerful and real. But the work of the Spirit that animates the whole of their proclamation is through the Word, because they're handing on the word of Christ, who is sent by the Father. And the Spirit inspires that word because he speaks what he hears, which means that all genuine proclamation, grounded in God's word and animated by the Spirit, is the word of Christ. And you'll notice there's something Trinitarian in all of this, right? The Father sends the Son sends the 12, the 12 speak in the power of Christ's Spirit, which is also the Spirit of the Father. And again, it's all about gathering the harvest, bringing rescue to the lost and helpless sheep, that in the reign of heaven they may be restored to life with God. And now we can ask, okay, what does all that have to do with us? I mentioned earlier that Professor Gibbs persuasively argues that the mission of the 12 was unique to their generation in establishing the reconstituted Israel. Yet here we are, some 2,000 years later, and what do we still confess about ourselves, the church, the body of Christ? We say, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. The apostles are gone, yet we remain apostolic. Why? Well, one of the things that is striking about our Lutheran confessions is how the reformers speak of the pastoral office. Now, of course, they declare that we're justified or made right before God by faith, and that by believing we are received into God's good favor and forgiven our sins for Christ's sake because of his death and resurrection. But then they also confess that so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. For through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God in them that hear the gospel. The ministry of teaching and administering the sacraments is not a continuation of the apostolic office per se, but it is the continuation of the work of proclaiming the reign of God so that faith may be obtained, so that helpless and harassed sheep may be faithfully shepherded, and so that the harvest may be gathered. For that harvest is still plentiful, and Jesus still seeks for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this ministry is apostolic in the sense of what Paul wrote, that what we teach and what we preach is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone. And just as Jesus sent the 12, he still sends you, preachers, teachers, parents, to hand on to you the word of life, so that you may have faith and know that you are loved and forgiven and made new by the Almighty God who created you and sent his Son to die for you. And in Christ, you are grafted into the Israel of faith and given new life and set before the world as witnesses of his surpassing grace. It's kind of breathtaking. And it all begins with Jesus' compassion for you and for all. So this day, my fellow sheep, rejoice. Your warfare is over. Your battle is ended. Christ sends his shepherds to gather you, to speak comfort to you, to build you up and give you the kingdom. Therefore, listen to his word, believe, and go live as witnesses of his grace. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus till the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.